Come on, we got to get cruising here. So good. Matt, turn with me to a couple places. And we're continuing our series called Train Your Brain. And I think this is, I heard so much about last week. And if you missed last week, please go online. You can check us out online and catch up. We're 1 week in. We'll probably be in this for two more weeks after today. Because it's so vital, man. It's so important for every person to believe, man, that instrument in your head, your brain is so vital and it is so powerful. It will make you, it will break you. Man, if you allow yourself to dwell and think on that which isn't accurate, that which isn't true, man, it'll break you. And we're going to go there today in a place to really be reminded of what it looks like, what it really looks like when we say, okay, I'm gonna test my mind. I'm going to do this examination of what I have allowed my mind to download. This is going to get you today. And I'm not here to get you in any way. But this is going to speak volumes to right where you're at. This is going to speak just so real, and it really is. We have to be careful. Next week, watch this. Next week, we speak on the healthy mind. Don't miss that. What does a healthy mind look like biblically? You got to remember, God created the mind. He created it so intricate. He created it so powerful that it can just consume your days. It can consume your nights. You can think on wrong information. You can think on right information. Your mind can allow you to buy into a lie. And if you live on that lie thinking it's truth, it's disastrous. Your mind is like a computer. It will download things into your soul if you allow it to. And please hear this. You hear me say this all the time. And everything is a seed. Everything you see is a seed. Everything you allow your kids to see is a seed. Everything you walk in husbands and wife, it's a seed. Like you got to understand how powerful your mind is. Last week, we talked about that war that is in your head. And it is an unseen war. It takes place in every one of us. And there is a battle for your mind. And there's a battle for your kid's mind. There's a battle for your spouse's mind. And it starts immediately at birth. When you allow your baby to download things or see things, man, listen, you reap what you sow. And when you begin to get into this morning, I'm giving you a preview. We're going to buckle up because we're going to go somewhere. And man, I am begging God that by His Spirit, we walk out of this place really seriously challenged today. Like a very real challenge. I'm asking God, get me in this. God challenged me as I've been preparing this thing for weeks. God has just, He got me in this. There's been serious challenge in me in regards to different shows that I'm watching, different things that I'm paying attention. And I'm very careful on what I watch. Listen, I love police shows. Bad guy dies at the end. Woo! Victory. Go cops, right? Score for the police. But if they allow, and please hear me, man, if they allow a sinful nature to show up in that show, if they allow a same-sex marriage to take place in that show, which is now becoming more frequently, I'm unfortunately done with that show. That's a seed. That you're not allowed in here. I'm not going to allow you to dull my spiritual sense, to become dull, to begin to accept things that are unbiblical. How much if I turn 50 here in a couple weeks, how much more so me and what about our young minds and what about our kids and what about, you know, we come to this place to begin to really understand. Today is one of those challenging days, I'm telling you, because today is kind of how we allow our mind to be poisoned. Next week's the healthy mind. This week is we have to be such on guard that we don't allow our brain, our computer, to be poisoned. Man, and I've been looking into this and I equate it to a computer, right? You have computers and you look at computers, sometimes computers slow down, and I called on my two so smart brainiac tech guys. They're the tech guys for Believer's Chapel, Brendan and Jamie. And when I started calling on these guys, and it was yesterday, honestly, I had a great day yesterday. I was kayaking all by myself. Nobody wanted to go kayaking. Sean, it's 90 degrees out. It's really hot. I said, I'm going. Drop me off on my boat. I'll be fine. And I just had a great opportunity to call people I needed to call, spend time in the Word, and just call my two brain friends and say, guys, listen, I've been thinking on this for a long time. Like, what happens What happens in the computer? Like, what causes a computer to slow down? Because I had to call him and give him some information. Like, as smart as I am, I had to say, guys, I don't know if you knew it, but there's a computer science word out there. There's a term called GIGO, which means garbage in, garbage out. Garbage in, garbage out. It's a computer term. And I dropped some knowledge on these guys. And they're like, really, Sean, I didn't really know that. Like, of course, I'm smarter than them because they, of course, they knew that. But I tell you what, when I was talking to Jamie, he did say, Sean, you really have taught me that you were smarter than me today. I'm like, all right, sweet. Which he totally was not telling the truth in that. But he was trying to make me feel better about myself being so smart tech-wise. But they were really saying, listen, Sean, this is what happens in a computer. Like, you have to categorize. And when you don't categorize and you don't clean it up, it's going to get foggy and it's going to get overwhelmed and it's going to slow down. And that's what Brennan said. And then totally Jamie backed that up and said, it's called defragging. Of course it is. I know what that means, Jamie. Come on. This piece over here in a square box, and there's a lot over here and too much information on the little box compared to the big box. And really what it is unless you clean it up, there's no room for what you want. I'm like, well, you could have just said that, couldn't you? Come on. And he just really was trying to define that, you know, our minds work in a very similar way. If you allow it to be clouded up and you allow garbage in, guess what you're going to get? Garbage out. And please know this, man. As we talked about last week, we are running against a very serious war. There's a battle for your mind. Why do you think the enemy tries to get in your head? Seriously, have you ever had the enemy in your head where he's just speaking things, and you're just like, hold on. Well, you begin to realize there's a battle for your mind. But sometimes, listen, parents, sometimes we don't think about this, and I'm one who says, listen, everything is a seed. Everything is a seed. Everything my kid watches is a seed. Everything that he plays is a seed. Every game that he plays is a seed. Every movie he watches is a seed. Every influence that's allowed in his life is a seed. What am I doing with that as a parent? Am I very careful that even at the youngest age, their minds are working? It's not like their minds kick in when they're teenagers. It goes in sometimes the wrong direction as a teenager. But I'm saying their minds kick in when they're born. They're seeing things, they're feeling things, they're experiencing things. Their mind is this amazing, incredible, God-given instrument that is a sponge, and they're taking it all in. Sometimes, honestly, we forget that. Do your kids see you guys argue all the time? Well, that's soaking in. Renee has disagreed with me once in our 25 years of marriage, and we did that in private. And then she said, well, you're right anyways. No, I'm just kidding. That's not how that goes. But we when we had these wonderful discussions, it wasn't in front of the kids. Because we know everything they see in us is a seed. Come on, let's just pray. And I'm just saying, in this moment, man, we got to get into a place to realize this thinker that we have is powerful. And the enemy knows it. And God knows it because he created it. So what happens? What happens when you can train your brain? Biblically speaking, from last week, take every thought captive. Take every thought captive. We have the ability in Christ to do that, knowing there's a very war for what you think on. And then what happens if we just leave this place today? Watch this. We leave this place today in 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Where you begin to say, okay, everything that I take in is a seed. Everything my children take in is a seed. This amazing, amazing creation of my brain, my thinker, that God put in there is on purpose, and it's detailed, and it's powerful. Garbage in, garbage out. Bad input results in bad output. Bad input results in bad output, and then it has an effect on your soul, and it has an effect on your spirit, has an effect really, truly in who you really are. And it can affect your marriage, and it can affect your children. And if we allow our children to be a part of things that we know just aren't right. Because one thing, please hear this, and then we'll pray, and then we'll preach. What happens when we become spiritually dull? I'm talking to the Christians, the believers. What happens when we become spiritually dull? Well, maybe 5 years ago, man, that would have bothered me. Man, I saw something on TV that I know that it's not correct. Or I saw a movie and, Oh man, they didn't have to put that in there. And it bothered me, man. It messed me up. But what happens 5 years later when it doesn't matter anymore? It's okay. It happens in everything. What happens when we allow our mind to really be a sponge and then all of a sudden it affects your spirit because now spiritually you've become dull? Again, man, I'm here this morning because I believe this with everything in me, man. Our mind is so powerful. It is so powerful biblically. It is God's creation. And we can walk out of this place going, no, there's things that need to change. Not even knowingly or have becoming dull. I've allowed things to take place in my house, allowed things in my marriage, allowed things in my spouse. Man, I've allowed my spouse to think this way, which isn't accurate. I allow my kids to see things and do things in a way that I know that just isn't right. And listen, please hear this. Again, I'm going to pray in a minute and then we're going to preach. But this is the deal. You've got to understand that the enemy, he is really good. He's a great deceiver. He packages things up in a pretty bow. He makes cartoons look cute. He can make a wizard look real cute in a cartoon. He can make spells be real fun. He can make witchcraft look really pretty. All because they're in cartoons or they're in games or they're in movies and we just think nothing about it because they're cute. What does the Bible say? And this is a very real thing that takes place in our minds. What happens when you allow yourself to think, it's not that big of a deal? What happens when you allow your kids to think, spells are fun? Do you realize that Wicca is one of the most powerful growing religions on the planet right now? And that it's absolutely rooted in the occult and Satan is driving that boat? You can't find a good witch in Scripture, by the way. It's sorcery. It's evil. It's spells, it's witchcraft, and they're little cute cartoon characters. How pretty. Well, they're not that bad. I'm asking you to make sure, please hear this. Church, I love you. But this is one of those moments that we cannot become spiritually dull. Not now. Not ever. We're in the fight for our lives right now, church. The enemy hates us. I believe Jesus is coming soon. And I believe there's a lot at stake for me and for you and for our marriage and for our kids. And the enemy will package things so cute. This is how powerful our minds are. To come to a place to test your mind. Come on, let's bow our heads and let's just say, God, this is deep. It's already thick in here. Father, please. It's real. Father, help us to see life. God, help us to identify things that are not right with you. Help us to never okay sin. God, let us never be okay with sin. God, help us to begin to realize the very brains that you have created in your power. God, they're sponges for us as adults, for the very gifts that you've given us as children. God, it's so real. God, help us to walk in a place of purity. Help us to walk in a place to know your word is the truth. And Father, what you say is wrong, let us never say it's right. God, help us to be so aware of this, Father. God, help us to walk in a place by your spirit to identify things that the enemy has really put in our house that we've said is okay. Even if they've packaged it in such a cute little way. It's damaging. Bad input results in bad output. Lord, I just pray for everyone here in this place. We would receive this morning in a real way. In Jesus' name, amen. And I got to tell you, church, I love you and I need you to hear it today. Because this is one of those things that we look at and say, okay, how can I rearrange things that I've allowed in my house? What have I looked at as cute? That the enemy has packaged in a nice pretty bow as a Christian, man, as one who knows the truth. What have I allowed in my mind? What have I allowed in my kid's mind to think that, it's no big deal when it comes to movies, when it comes to shows, when it comes to what we allow in our home, when we know, biblically speaking, say, no, well, that's not right. Well, you can look at the occult, and you can look at sorcery, you can look at witchcraft, you look at wizards, and you can look at warlocks, and you can look at, and none of it is healthy. You can look at what the Bible does say about same-sex marriage, and how there is such an agenda now through all kind of shows, games, to get us to be spiritually dull. And you know where it kicks in? Our thinkers. You know where greed can kick in? Our thinkers. You know where materialism can kick in? Is right in our thinkers. You know where pride comes in? Right here. You know where I'm better than you comes in? Guess what? Right here. You know where gossip comes in? Starts right in the head. You know where jealousy starts? Right in the head. And it's just, come on, this is one of those days today that you would come to a place go, man, what have I allowed in, man? What do I need to clean out? Because what have I actually said was okay, or what have I become dull to that God's word clearly says, no, that's not okay. And let's just look at Psalm 139, please. I don't want you to see this. We're going to talk about a few things, and I love this. And one of the big points today is this, in this message. You know, you have to test everything to Scripture. You have to test everything to Scripture. And you come to believe, 2 Corinthians 10, that was review. I just reviewed. High five. Good. We're on to, for sake of time, man, we're on to Psalm 139. And we come to this place where you've got David. And he writes Psalm 139. And he comes to a very real place in 23 and 24. That can be very, very, very revealing, and it can be very, very, very deep, and it can be very, very challenging. When you literally go before the Lord and say, search me and know me. Reveal in me. And one of the big points to this today is this: don't believe everything you think. Don't believe everything you think. Because there's this, listen, you can buy into a lie. You can buy into a story. You can make up a story in your head. You ever make up a story in your head and it grows and it grows and eventually you actually believe the story and there is absolutely no foundation of truth whatsoever and you wasted a lot of mind time on a story that you created, that you made up, that never existed? Well, what happens when you come to a place to say, no, I need to test every thought? What happens when you come to a place to really go into your mindset, say, God, search me in this, know me in this, test my thoughts? And man, I'm telling you, about 25 years ago, I was under this minister, and he came in as a special speaker, and he dropped something on me that I will never forget. And it was the sense of, and this is what he said. Facts, watch this now, you can write this down. Facts bring healing, but stories bring stress. Facts bring healing, but stories bring stress. What are stories that we buy into? What are stories? You take a seed of maybe what someone said, and then your own mind blows it up into this crazy story, and now you're all stressed, your family's stressed, because you bought into something that had no foundation and no truth, and you made it actually bigger than it originally was, when originally it was nothing, and then all of a sudden you bought into a story, and now stories bring stress. I say that to myself all the time. Is this a story? Am I making this up in my head? Am I making something bigger than it is? And I try to think through it before you ever say anything. Everything is a seed that bears fruit some way. Bad input results in bad output. Now look at this. This is David. This is where he's at, man. He's coming to a place where you and I have to get to this place to say, okay, if I'm going to say stories bring stress, then I guess my first question is this. If what I'm thinking on, is it even true? If I'm going to test my mind, the seed that's been planted, is it true? Someone said this about you. Is it true? But someone said this about you. Is it true? Because we can get so caught up in what people think. And I got to be honest with you, man. I have a chosen few people in my life that I have given the okay that I really do care about what they think. They have access to me. They have a right to speak into my life. I very much, first and foremost, Jesus. Second and foremost, my wife and my family. And then I have specific team members that are allowed to speak directly. And I very deeply care what they think. And to be honest, outside of that, I don't give a flip what people think. And listen, that's a lot of time saving right there. Let me save you a lot of time. Please, allow people access, certain people that you trust to be in your boat, that you do care what they think. When they come in grace and they come in love and they speak in your life because they see something. But the rest, I don't care what people, it'll mess you up when you start worrying about what everybody thinks. Because it'll get in your thinker. What they think gets in your thinker and then you're messed up. Come on, look at this. Watch this. Psalm 130. Psalm 139. This is verse 23, 24. Watch this. This can be amazing healing, but this, I'm telling you, man, this is deep today because this is a part of scripture that if you take it for real, it could hurt. It can heal. But have you ever experienced, there's things that I have to go through that hurt before I can heal. There's things that someone have come and said something to me that hurt me, but the whole point was for healing. Look at what he says, though. How much more even with the Lord? Look what David says. Search me and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Look at it. He's saying, listen, I'm a mess up here. I have anxiety. I'm worried. My mind is a mess. God, I need you to test me in this. What an amazing place to be. Have you ever taken this scripture and said, God, I'm a mess, but I need you to test me. God, what have I allowed in? Lord, if you're going to do a true search in my soul and a search in my heart, and I'm opening up to that to say, God, I need you to allow me. What have I allowed in my family? What have I allowed in my heart? What have I allowed in my marriage? What have I allowed in my, what's causing all of this crazy? God, test my thoughts. So what happens, church, when you come to a place to say, search me, God, and know my heart, try me or test me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there's any hurtful way in me and lead me in the everlasting way. God, have I allowed anything in that's going to hurt me? Have I allowed anything in that's going to hurt my family? Have I allowed anything in that's going to hurt my children? Have I allowed anything in that's going to hurt my spouse? Even though it's packaged so cute. Search me. And God, my mind is a mess and I'm anxious and there's so much going on. God, I got to know why and I need you to test my thoughts. What happens when you come to a place and say, God, search me. God, know my heart. Test my mind. See, when you come to a place to be honest about this, please hear this, and you say, God, I need you to test my thoughts. Well, the only way to truly test your thoughts is through this. What input have I allowed into my family? What input have I allowed into my kids? What input have I allowed into my, and it needs to be, the only true test is this. Because you can see it, and again, David says this in Psalm 26, if you can put that up on the board, please. I love this. It's the same thought, more clear. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I love this. I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Look where David is. Examine me. Like we think, man, everything is good. I've been on my A game spiritually. Man, I really have, man. I'm on my A game. Things are going good. Man, I've walked in my integrity. I've walked in what I believe is right with God. But look what he says. Even in the midst, like, listen, this is the deal. Church, we can never let our guard down. The enemy's really good. He's really good at getting in there. He's really good packaging things that are against God. He makes it look so good. He's so good at packaging things that are against the word and making them look so pretty. It's no big deal. It's just a show. Don't you know? It's just Hollywood. It's just a game. Guess what? That's how we become spiritually dull because we think it's just a game. And all of a sudden the enemy's right in your head. And you come to this place where he says, listen, I've walked in my integrity. I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Man, I have stood my ground. But look where he's at. He says, examine me. Even when I'm on my A game, God, I need this. I need you to examine me, God. I don't want my mind to take me in a place. Even when I'm going good, it takes a thought. It takes a thought. Man, what happens when you come to a place to realize, God, I need to make sure that I'm okay. I even on my A game, God, you have free access to my soul. God, I'm asking that you would examine me. This is where he's at. Look at this. Watch this. Examine me, O Lord, and test me. Look what he says. Test my mind and my heart. For your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. Look what he says. I love this. I've walked in integrity. I've trusted you without wavering. I have walked in your truth. Man, it sounds pretty good. Sounds like the A game. But even in this, he says, listen, I know. I need you to examine me. Make sure there's no wrong way in me. I think I'm on my A game. This is what I think I've done. But God, I need to be so close to you that I need not to be walking spiritually dull. God, I got to be so careful on what comes into my head. I got to be so careful what I see. I got to be so careful what I put before my family. I got to be so careful of what I put before my children. Got to be so careful. It's just a show. Just a game. We've lost sight of what it is to be so spiritually sharp. That we come to a place to say, no, I need to be very careful. I need to walk out this place. Going, God, I need you to test me in this. And I need to walk in a place to say, these things that have come into my head, are they true? Have I bought into a lie? Have I been so consumed about what everyone else thinks? See, Proverbs 18, too, you know my love for Proverbs, and you know chapter 18 is I guess I have a lot of favorites, but Proverbs 18 has so much depth to it. I want you to see this. A fool does not delight in his own understanding, in understanding, but only revealing his own mind. I love this because it says a fool does not delight in understanding. He doesn't care about what the facts are. You ever have somebody say something bad about you and you're like, man, you didn't get that one right. Can we sit down and talk about that? Nope, I don't need to. Yeah, but I'm telling you that wasn't accurate. Nope, I don't need to. No, but I'm telling you, you bought into something that wasn't true. And all I want to do is sit down and talk to you about it. Nope. So you're saying you don't care about the facts. Look at, but only revealing his own opinion. You ever try to battle with somebody like that? It's impossible. You know, the Bible calls him a fool. Listen, I just want to share this with you. Nope. I see it my way. Yeah, but your way's wrong. We can talk about this. So what happens, church, when you come to a place to say, what is actually in my head? Do I actually really care about the facts? Do I really care about the truth? Because I want to just cover one thing because I think it's something that absolutely affects our mind. And it can be a great struggle for so many. And we've been going through a lot of Psalms with David, and just we come to a place to see what took place in the battle between Saul and David. See, the Bible has this amazing struggle, and it's called jealousy. And jealousy is a mind game. That's all it is. Husbands, wives, teenagers, young people. Like jealousy, watch this. Hear this. Jealousy is one of those things that it's, you talk about, what is it that my mind struggles with? What is it that I've allowed in my mind? What is it that I've looked at scripture and said, well, I know God says that, but what happens when you come to a place, and here it is, what happens when you come to a place to really test your mindset? Okay, is that even true? Am I making up a story in my head? Listen, there's two types of jealousy. Right? We sung it this morning, how he loves us, for he's a jealous God. Is God in sin because he's jealous? No, he's God Almighty. And the word jealous here, you find it at Exodus 20, you find it at Exodus 34, where God says, listen, my very name is jealous, and it all is attached to worship. You shall not worship any other gods or any other idols. What is it? God will not compare himself, and God will not be in any type of struggle for your worship. When you understand, man, he loves me. He is the God who created me to worship him. He is never going to be in competition for your worship. He's like, no, I'm jealous. I deserve your worship. There's nothing between me and you. There's no idols between us. There's nothing between us. And listen, I love it that God will fight in a sense to say, listen, I'm first. I will always be first. There's no competition for me. Love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Seek me first. Pursue me with everything in you. And there'll never be this competition. That's a good, solid, powerful, jealous God who loves us desperately that says, listen, if there's anything between us, there's a problem. And then there's this jealousy we find in 1 Samuel 18, where David's just coming off a great battle of Goliath. David was called to bring lunch to his brothers, and then he turned into this mighty warrior overnight. You see, David just shows up on the battleground, and he hears this giant begin to scream out and defile the name of God, and he's like, what is happening here? Listen, I'll take him. You're a kid. Yeah, but man, I took out the lion. Remember the lion? Woo, ripped him in half. I took out the bare-handed man. You know, easy. I got this. Well, here, I can't fit your armor. I'm just going to take my little slingshot. And he goes before Goliath, and Goliath is like, you bring a child with a slingshot and stuff? And he comes out with a sword and a spear. And David's like, you bring a spear? Kind of, it's a battle. It's actually what you're supposed to bring to the fight. And David, Goliath says, listen, I'm going to feed you to the birds, you kid. And David's like, that's funny, giant. I'm going to feed you to the birds. Let's see who's getting eaten on. Matter of fact, I'm going to take your own sword and I'm going to take your head with it, man. I'm going to slice it right off. And then the birds are going to come feed on you. And this battle takes place, and David is this amazing hero, and then something takes place in Saul, who is the king. Verse 5 says this, so David went out wherever Saul sent him and prospered, and Saul set him over the men of war, and it was pleasing in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servant. Verse 6, here it is. So here you've got Saul, who's the king, and now you've got David really coming up to honor Saul. And Saul sent him out, and David's just doing some battle, man. David's a warrior. And then verse 6, then it happened. And can I just tell you, in the sense of our mindset, it can be your mindset, failure can happen in a moment. Then it happened. A seed got planted. And that seed grew. What happens if Saul would have taken his moment right in verse 6 to say, then it happened? No. And immediately he took a thought. We'll get to it in a minute. Immediately he took that thought, said, nope, I'm testing that thought, and that's not true. Watch this. And then it happened, and they were coming, and David returned from killing the Philistine, and the women came out of all the city of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul. They weren't even there to honor David. They were there to honor Saul. Their king brought in this young boy. The young boy then took out the enemy and then went all around and took out the armies. Good job, Saul, bringing in the right man for the job. They were there to honor Saul. Now look at this. Look what sets in. Then it happened. The women sang as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Then Saul became very angry for this saying, displeased him. Look at David. Saul wanted the goods, man. He wanted the praise. They weren't even there to praise David. They were there to give Saul honor, but he missed that. And Saul looked at David with suspicion from that day on. Then it happened. one thought of jealousy. And then the pursuit took place. This guy's after my kingdom. This guy's after my kingdom. And he tried to take him out. Even his own son, Jonathan, said, "Dad, what are you doing? David is for you. He's for you. He honors you. He's never going to come against you. What are you doing, Dad? Stop. He's one of your best." And his anger, he throws a spear at his own son to try to take out his own son. This isn't the big idea on jealousy. That's not the big idea. The big idea is then it happened. There is a seed that was planted in his mind. What happens if he would have just taken that seed? That thought. Said, "Is this true? No, actually, he's for me. No, he's actually for the kingdom. No, he's actually one of the best I've got. No, he's actually, even people around him know that all he does is speak highly of me. He's for me." Like, it could have been this instant switch. But what happens when we have that moment? Watch this. Here it is. Here it is. What happens when we have that moment of then it happened? Man, then it happened. Where this thought came in, and the very first thing is this a story that's going to bring stress? If I follow, watch this, if I follow down this path, where does it end? Or do I just ask the simple question, is it true? These things in my home, if I really look at them, what seeds am I planting in my wife? What seeds am I planting in my husband? What seeds am I planting in my kids? Is it okay? Is this okay? What's the Bible have to say about it? Because what happens when the Bible says we're called to take every thought captive? And when you begin to really dive into the depth of today and say, man, every thought really is a seed. And listen, we could become really, honestly, we could be really good at instantaneously going, no, that's stupid. Nope, that's a lie. Nope, that's not true. Nope, that's wrong. Nope, 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 nope. But then there's that one that comes through. And then that opens a little gate for another one to come through. And then it opens another gate. We say, well, I don't think that's that bad. And then our spirit becomes dull. Because we stopped guarding our mind. We've allowed bad input in, and it's been resulting in bad output. And I hope church, man, I'm telling you, I hope that we get the seriousness of where I'm at today in this, because this is something that every person goes through. Every person battles something in your head, and it can be a battle that we have complete victory over. If we are truly aware of the enemy, if we truly are aware, hear this, man, that our minds are sponges, man, they are computers. And I'm either putting purity in or I'm putting garbage in. I'm putting truth in or I'm putting lies in. Man, what is it that I'm downloading? Man, what is it? Husbands, do we cover our wives and say, no, you're not going to think like that. Honey, you're not going to worry about what everyone else thinks. Who cares what she thinks? Who cares what she said? It's not true. Why are you worried about that? Are we as husbands? Ladies, are you speaking into your husband? No, you're not going to think like that. Honey, you're worth more than that. Honey, you are Superman. Honey, you do provide. Look at you as a dad to these kids. Look at how you protected these kids. Look at how you, honey, you haven't allowed that junk in our house. Honey, you, what is it when the wife begins to cover the husband and say, no, your mind can't go there. What happens when we truly come to a place to say it's time, and I love this, it's time to have a garage sale. Just like Brennan said, man, what you can do in a computer is you can begin to categorize and you can begin to put things in files. And Jamie says you need to defrag and you need to get rid of things that aren't really all that valuable. You know, the things that you use most, you put it here. The things that you don't, you file back and away, or you just delete and you get rid of them, and it cleans things up. But what happens if today we begin to really focus on what it looks like to have a garage sale in our thoughts? What happens if we really come to a place to get serious about what we've come to a place to really allow in our homes and our marriages and husbands and wives and children. It's time to have a garage sale. To say, okay, my mind is so clouded and I've got to come to this place to say, okay, it's time to identify what's really for God and what's against God. It's time to identify that which is true and that which is false. Have I bought into something that's a lie? Are you telling me, have I been duped by the enemy? Have I allowed him somehow to dull my spirit? To begin to think that this is just okay? What happens today if we get real about this, church? To say, the minds of my wife and my kids are way too precious to allow poison in, even if it's packaged so cute. Because I know the enemy is really good. He's a great deceiver. And I'm not going to allow him to dupe me. I'm going to be on my place to guard my mind. Can we just bow our heads and we'll just pray and I'll see you. I said, well, how do I have a garage sale? God, search me. According to your biblical standard, search me. Not according to my standard, not according to the world standard, not according to Hollywood standard, not according to game standard. God, search me according to your standard. Test my mind. Test my thoughts. God, my mind is a sponge. My wife's mind is a sponge. My kids' mind, they're just sponges. They take it in. Test me in this. Everything tested according to your biblical standard. Know my heart. Test my anxious thoughts that I may understand your ways, not my ways. Then the garage sale takes place, and then we look at our heads going, no, that's not true. No, that's not good. No, that's not pure. No, that's not right. And we just start ditching and we start selling off everything. And we start cleaning up our own personal computer in our heads. Say, nope, 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 nope. And you're making room for a healthy mind. You're making room for a healthy mind. You're making room to think on that which is right and that which is pure and that which is lovely and that which is excellent and that which is worthy of praise. You're making room to set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. You're making room. You're making room to what it looks like to not set our mind on the things of the flesh, but on the things of the spirit. You're coming to this place to walk in a healthy mind. You see, you're coming to this place, and we'll pick up on this next week, where Jesus himself said, I want you to love me with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. What happens when our mind, our thoughts, come to a place to honor him and love him with everything we think on and everything that we download? And everything that we allow in our house, we do it because we love him. Wow. Wow. Come on. The challenge, please. Everyone just look at me and we're out. I had a minute, 2 minutes ago. So hold on 1 second. The challenge is this week. Is for honestly for you to go home and say, okay, God, it's time for a garage sale. That you every day you would pray. Psalm 139, 23 and 24, and Psalm 26, 1 through 3. Search me and know me. Test my anxious thoughts. God, if I bought into a lie, God, if I become spiritually dull, have I allowed things in my home that just really aren't biblically standard? Have I? And you begin to sell off. And you do it for a week. And then you come to a place. Next week, you come back and say, okay, what's a healthy mind look like? Biblically speaking, what's a healthy mind look like? We come to a place to see what does a mind look like when you when Jesus said, love me with your mind. That which is pleasing and acceptable in your sight. When you look at this and you come to a place to say, God, my mind, in my thinker, I want to love you. It changes everything. And I hope you're hearing this in this series, because this is one of those series that you can have one of those but it happened moments and you identify it quickly, immediately. Nope, that's not coming in my house. Nope, that's not coming in my marriage. Nope, that's just a lie from stupid people. Nope, that's just not true. Nope, that's a fool talking and I'm not going to buy into it. Nope, that's gossip, not a part of me. Nope, 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 nope. Then you just saved yourself, but it happened. You just saved yourself a moment. Just know this, I preach this because I love this church. And I know this is stuff that we know, but it's stuff that we need to be reminded of spiritually. Man, we need to be spiritually sharp, and the enemy is so good at causing us to be dull spiritually. He's good. And we need to identify that and say, if I know truth, I can be sharp. Father, we thank you for this day. What a great day. Help us to take this, walk out of this place, and say, God, search me and know me. Have I allowed anything in? Help me to have a garage sale to get out. Help me to really know what I've downloaded, and it's now a time to delete. If I've downloaded things in my spirit, in my family's spirit, it's time to delete. Make room for health. Father, please, help me in this. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Come on, it's a good challenge today. Next week, a healthy mind, man. Come on, here we go.